I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you can probably tell I'm live, I think, for the first time in 2 weeks. Been battling COVID, which turned into walking pneumonia, so it's been no picnic for me, and I'm on my way out. But I confess, I still have a little bit of a cough, and so I have a cough button handy. And I don't think I would have gone live if not for my guest today, Dr. Troy, because I can just maybe go quiet, and he can talk for the whole hour if I need him to. But you know, that's if you listen often enough, that we have him on once a month, and he's a favorite for so many of us, and he's just invested in so many of our healths, and I just really believe that we're here today to have a really important conversation on multiple levels. But I don't want you to wait till the bottom of the hour, as so often is the case, by texting your questions. Get them into me now. Text your questions now, any health and healing question, and we'll do our best to tackle them. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I want to just thank you for your concern and your prayers. You know, it's again, been no joke. It's been a hard battle, but it's God is good. And if not for the intervention of my three doctors, I don't know where I would be. So I'm super, super grateful. Now, a couple of things I want to talk about today in just a little bit is the Thanksgiving digestion. Is there a way to enter into the celebration to really enjoy yourself without clogging up your liver, making yourself feel absolutely sick after? And what are the implications of gorging yourself versus pacing yourself? There is something to be said to that if you want to farewell, enjoy the holiday without making yourself sick. Also, just some COVID hindsights. I remember in 2020 when COVID first hit, and Troy had some just such insightful wisdom that I so wish people would have heeded back then. I really do. But hindsight is 2020. But I want to just explore very carefully without getting people too riled up, just to, like, what do we know now? And what could we have done differently? Now we can't, it's past, but what can we do differently? Maybe moving forward, can we have maybe a more civil and more humane perspective on how each of us are managing this. And we'll answer as many questions as we can. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. And I have to say this, he's not here to diagnose you over the air, and his advice isn't meant to take the place of your physician. So always consult your doctor before making any changes to your health program. And a quick announcement, where I think this is maybe the last week, but I've been out of commission, so forgive me, but we're giving away two copies, two bundles a week of my Advent devotional, Prepare Him Room. So one for you and one for a friend. So you'll get two copies and the gift cards. You can get into our onto our website, myfaithradio.com, to register to win. Now, let me tell you about my guest. Forgive me, you can tell I'm already struggling a little bit, but I'm going to get through it. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, I just publicly want to thank you for being my friend and my doctor. I just am so grateful for you. But thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering what passage you've been thinking about these days.
Well, I actually heard a very good message that's very appropriate for right now. I heard it last week at church, and so I want to take it from Hebrews 25. I'm going to go all the way to 29. It says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And the other words, it's been said, the word shaking, shaking on earth as and shaking of heaven is another way of saying it. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe.
Wow, I love that. Say more about it, if you would.
Well, right now, a lot of people, no matter where they're at, feels like their world is shaking. And for me, what I heard in the message that I received at church is that when you are grounded in our faith, when you're grounded and all eyes are on God, and you're in the, it's like a pillar of white light that just is unshakable. Everything else around it might be shaking, but when you are, when that is your foundation, you don't necessarily feel the shaking at all. You can see it all around you, but when you're in the world, and when you're looking at the world and all the ups and downs and the shaking and the stuff that's going on, it is basically going to feel like the world is shaking. But God will shake the world, and everything that is not in alignment or attached to God will be shooken. Mm-hmm. And so that it causes us to pause and keep our eyes on God, because the way to feel calm in this storm is to just know God and be with God. That's why Jesus could sleep in the middle of the storm when everyone else was freaking out. Now, the world right now, whether the majority of people will say that there's a lot of shaking going on, and it can feel very, very uncomfortable. And so it's just another reminder for us to be just in alignment. And when you are, you can have complete peace in the middle of all of the chaos going on around you.
That's so good. And you know, I mentioned the Thanksgiving conversation. We'll get to that in a minute. But I remember you and I having a conversation in 2020 when COVID was first hitting. And you said, you know, if we could, you know, really protect the elderly, protect the autoimmune and the, you know, the vulnerable in very, very specific ways and build up our immunities. I mean, you had so many thoughts about it. Would you said the collateral damage of shutting everything down and shutting everybody down is so far reaching. You were prophetic. You really were, because you said it will be so far reaching. You're going to talk about depression. You're going to talk about suicide. You're going to talk about increased alcohol and drug, you know, abuse. You said all of that. And it all happened. And it's so hard. You know, I'm thinking of, again, hindsight's 20/20, but you, I feel like you saw it beforehand. But I read an article from an immunologist yesterday, and he said, I have to speak up in good conscience. I can't, and this is my paraphrase, but basically he's like, I can't live with myself by not having the courage to speak up, even though conversations around this whole topic are so, you're shamed, you're vilified. If you step off the narrative that, you know, that is the only acceptable one, you're vilified. And I just appreciate it. He said, I can't in good conscience not say this, but he said, you know, a respiratory virus, he said, you're not going to get rid of it. He said, it's like saying we are going to put all of our resources, we're going to do everything I can to shut our communities down to stop a hurricane. That's our new goal. We're going to stop the hurricane. And he said, in the collateral damage of trying to stop a hurricane, now you can mitigate damages, you can brace for it, you can prepare for it and protect, and you can be wise about it. But to try to, and to vilify everybody and to make all these kind of rules as if somehow you can grab hold of a respiratory virus that's always evolving, I mean, maybe I'll just pause right there, but just speak to, you know, what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. It's a very accurate picture, because, and that's what we have seen. This particular virus tends to cause problems with the cardiovascular system and then some internal issues inside the cell when it breaches the lung barrier. So we know about this. This isn't necessarily something we couldn't estimate, but the reality is that we now have quite a bit of data, and the truth of the matter is the people, the majority of the people, this is not everyone, but the majority of the people that struggle had comorbidities or problems entering into the virus. So the real general easy statement to make is the healthier you are coming into the virus in certain key areas, the better. We do know that regardless of vaccine status, that the majority of people that end up, by when I say majority, I mean in the lower to upper 70 percentile in the hospitals are obese. And so even if it's just a little bit overweight, but still into that obese category, that is an indicator. So those other people that are inflamed, same scenario. We know now that a lot of people with low vitamin D status, low zinc status, tend to struggle the most with this, low antioxidant status. A lot of that is diet and lifestyle. So there's a lot of things you can do proactively to help circumvent this in the beginning, if we're going back. And that's a lot of the diet and lifestyle stuff that we have taught and preached. The other thing is we do see that as we age, our ability to fight off certain infections like this decrease. And it has a lot to do with antioxidant status. One of the markers in particular that is fairly fascinating is melatonin. That's the deep sleep hormone. Regardless of age, if your melatonin status was good, you did well with this virus. And so melatonin is not just the deep sleep hormone. It is a tremendously potent antioxidant that helps protect your lung lining. It helps protect the cardiovascular system. And so there was a lot of things that can be done. There is a lot of things that can be done when it comes to just protecting yourself as you go through these things, even for people with pre-existing conditions. And we've seen that now play out. And we have the data, and we know more now than we ever did. And hindsight is 20/20. Like you said, it's a lot easier to speak on things now. To your point, and to the immunologist's point, the biggest challenge I've had through this process, and I was on a podcast speaking about this, is the interpretation of the scientific data and the improper, just how the data was collected. So it becomes very, very challenging for doctors to make decisions based on inaccurate data, I'll say that. And then it becomes very challenging when there's division. And people got so emotional about one way or another on this subject because it's very personal. Everyone knows someone who has had a significant impact on their life from either getting COVID, dying from COVID, losing their job, or getting the vaccine, being injured by the vaccine, or dying from the vaccine. Everyone's got a story within there if they're picking sides. This is not a sides scenario. You cannot win if you pick one side or the other. Mm-hmm. The most important thing that can happen with this is that people sit down and talk and come together and are listened to. And a lot of doctors are sitting down and starting to look at the pros and cons of what's happening. And we're seeing some of the numbers come out, and we're seeing some of the things that we're speculating early on actually come to fruition when it comes to what we would expect with a respiratory virus. So it is a hot topic, but it's one that is really important for people to take a step back and truly look at the big picture of, number one, are there credible people that are giving information on different points of view on what's going on? And the answer is yes, there are very credible people.
So important. We had a pause here when we come back. You know, in Star Trib, there was an article by Kevin Roach who said they've been calling this epidemic the epidemic of the unvaccinated. And I know I'm stepping on toes here, but I just got to say this. He said that's absolutely not true because the data is out there. There's a lot of breakthrough cases with the vaccine. All that to say, some are saying, yes, it minimizes symptoms for the person who may get COVID. But to vilify and shame people when each person really does need to make a qualified decision on this, and to ignore every other aspect of what we can do to build up our immunities, to not vilify and shame, to not cultivate fear, to live in faith. There are a thousand more things we can do to come together, to love well, to take care of our health, to believe the best in each other. That's my whole soapbox here. I feel as someone who's come through this, there are scary moments. There are moments that are demonic. They were so scary. And it doesn't help because so many people are so hot around this. So help us, Lord, to move forward with civil brains, like Troy said, to have more people at the table to say, okay, what do you know about personal immunity? What do you know about coming together in community? And can we work together so that we can go forward healthy, not even as just as individuals, but corporately? Can somebody give me an amen? We're not going to stop the hurricane, but we can mitigate the damages and enjoy life and not stop living in the meantime. We'll be back in a minute.
Miracles, oh miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. So grateful for your prayers, your encouragement as I work my way through my own battle with COVID and walking pneumonia. And Dr. Troy's my guest today. And, you know, there is something, Doc, about, I mean, and a lot of, I have different friends. I've got so many friends in the healthcare field. I've got a friend who's a frontline ICU nurse. All she works on is ICU COVID patients. And she said there is a demonic fear that she said she's prayed with patients where, because they're not with family, and there's this tipping point moment where you feel like I can't breathe, you know. And but I just, the enemy has just been all over this, and I just feel like he loves division so much. And I guess that's why I'm feeling so passionate about. There's parts of these topics I would so love to go into, but I don't know that I can on this platform, so I'm just not going to. But I want to say, I know there's a better way for us to walk this out. So the enemy's put under our feet, the fear, the vilifying, the shaming, you know. It is just amazing to me how people, even online, if they hear you're sick, they want to know before they have compassion, which camp are you in? Am I going to blame you for this? Or I need to know which camp you're in. And that, as Christians, that doesn't belong with us. Christ is in us. He's our hope of glory. So maybe speak more to that. And even going forward, is there a way to walk? I love what you said before the break. Can we come together with people who think differently than us and collaborate together so we can be healed and whole as a community, not just as individuals?
Well, I do think that. And just like the imagery of the whole world shaking all around us, as we come together and just have all of our eyes on God, because I know God's in control 100%. And like I said, there is no right way on either side of this, because people died either way. Mm-hmm. And so I get how confusing it has been, especially when trusted sources and resources all of a sudden, as it is turning out, are not as trusted. And so it becomes very, very challenging. So it's easy for us to trust people that way. But it doesn't matter where you are, on what side or what camp you are, when you pray about it, God will bring people through either way. And it's one of the things when we can just meet in the center. If we're, I just have this visual of this beam of light that is so pure and so strong. It just goes right down through the center of our entire world. And if we can meet there, as the whole earth is shaking all around it, if we meet there, we'll be perfectly still with God and together. And there's nothing we can't do when we're together there. That's where we need to meet. There's enough evidence for people now to win their opinion when it comes to their opinion as far as what their opinion is. You can almost win an argument just by looking up the data on both sides of it. And it is important, I think, for doctors to come together and start to discuss other scenarios as far as what they're seeing, and also to come together and talk about it. For people, though, that aren't necessarily, they're listening to the experts or so-called experts, it's important for them to keep an open mind about how we treat our brothers and sisters.
That's right.
And that's very, very important. And I do think if we just come together in the middle with God in the center, that's how we start to move through this. And I do see tremendous blessings coming from all of this. I've had so many stories relayed to me of struggles. I had a patient in my office the other day who was in tears because she's not going to Thanksgiving this year because she did not feel comfortable getting vaccinated, and they didn't want grandma around the grandkids. that scenario, and that truthfully breaks my heart. Now, they also did a very good job of just talking it out, and they just said, let's see how this plays out, and we respect your decision, and she respected theirs. And so they took a very, very high road with, and they prioritized their relationship first and foremost, because they did say, I want to make sure, no matter what happens, that we keep our relationship together within the family. And so they did a very, very good job of navigating that, although it's still very challenging.
Is there, though, like this Kevin Roach Tribe article, he said, there is kind of a false sense of security as if vaccine is stopping the spread, but it's just not. It's slowing it, maybe, and it's minimizing some of the symptoms you may have. But there are plenty of breakthrough cases now, and the efficacy over time is diminished. It's not performing at what they had sort of hoped. Now, I'm not vilifying. I'm just saying, since that is a reality, people are walking around maybe with a false sense of security and going out with colds, but they've been vaxxed, they think they're fine, and they may be carriers. And again, nobody's vilified there, but if we could kind of come back and say, what are the, test before you go to the holidays. How about that? How about everybody test? That might be a wise thing to do. But just to be walking in love, I really did love the hurricane analogy, because I was thinking when communities are getting ready for a hurricane, they sandbag together. They board up windows together. They share food together. And dear Jesus, help us to move forward in that way,
Yeah, absolutely. And we are, whether you are vaccinated or unvaccinated, if you have symptoms, just stay home right now. And that's a good, that's the approach to be taken, really. And in the same light, it's important to continue to protect yourself from all infections this respiratory season. Because one of the challenges is, and we talked about this last year, all of the things our immune system and our innate ability to heal requires gets offset or dampened in stressful situations. We need fresh air, fresh water. We need sunlight, vitamin D, zinc from food. As we have stress, as we don't sleep, we decrease our ability to actually fight infection of all kinds. And so it's important that we pay attention to some of these basics as we go through this season so that you can be still the healthiest version of you out there. And that's really a founding takeaway from this, is that this has turned out to be a huge magnifying glass for underlying conditions. The majority of people, I know you hear a lot in the news about he had no health concerns. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, but there was no underlying health concerns. Well, the reality is a lot of people have cardiovascular compromise that is just undiagnosed. And we find it all the time, but that's being proactive, and that's being ahead of it with your health versus reactive. So there's just a lot of feedback, and it's just so personal to everyone that it just hurts when a loved one has been affected in such a negative way. Mm-hmm. And it's on both sides of this conversation, so it's a tough one for sure.
I'm going to pause. We'll be back with Dr. Troy. Thank you, friends, for engaging in this conversation. I know it's a tricky one, but we got to go there. We'll be back in a minute. That's so true. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl, who we have on every month. He's CEO, founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, here to answer your health and healing questions. And we've had a pretty gripping conversation thus far, and it's been really important, just about looking back, looking forward. How can we walk out treating people when it comes to COVID? As Christians, it just doesn't belong in our hearts to be separating people from the left to the right based on different opinions. There's so much we don't know. There is information, I believe, that's just not super forthcoming. And so can we walk in humility and discernment and love and care for one another and really believe God wants to bring us together, regardless of the enemy's just unbelievable overtime efforts to divide us and cause us angst and hatred, because we'll never heal will never heal, and we'll never really know the fullness of our health and our immunities, the best of our immunities, if there's hate in our heart, judgment in our hearts. And I just think, boy, this is an invitation for us to walk in love for sure. And Doc, you were saying a few months ago, you said it's going to be, I think, a tough fall, winter, and you said if we can shore up our immunities and guard our hearts and keep a faith and joy perspective, we'll fare the best. And that just advice still stands today, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it's just something, I've been doing this for well over 22 years now, and I know that when people go through stressful seasons, we see their health decline. And we're seeing high levels of stress in a lot of different places, and a lot of it is coming from fear of losing the job, their job, or fear of getting COVID or losing a loved one, or different scenarios. We just know the stress has been much, much elevated, and so I do see just historically that I've never seen it to this level in my career as far as just the global amount of stress and the impact on the immune system and just all the consequences. And we tend to get those patients in our clinic as far as when things start to shut down. So it is not a surprise as far as the numbers and where we're at based on what we've seen in the past. And we've seen things like this play out before. With H1N1, it was much, much more muted. But we saw the early signs of that, and for whatever reason, this one just kept going on for a year, year and a half after, during the same type of scenario, they would shut down protocols with H1N1, and they just took a different path this time. And I think there's a lot of learning that's going to come from that, and there was one country that really took the path that we have historically taken, and that was Sweden. And so you can look at the numbers as just someone who's into data and into numbers and looking at trends. It's kind of nice to have the outlier of Sweden, because we can compare Sweden's numbers to everywhere else. And we can see that Sweden still took a hit. They still had a lot of challenges. But in the longer we go on with things, we see that their numbers are declining in key areas where everyone else is starting to get worse. And it really plays down to a lot of different things. They never mandated masks. They never mandated shutdowns. They never mandated vaccines. But they made all of those options for people. And they did a really good job at risk-reward. They took risk assessments and said, who's highest risk? And they made some changes based on that. And historically, that's what we've always done. We just altered it this time. And so we're seeing a lot of areas that we can definitely improve upon, because we definitely have made some mistakes along the way here that I personally and a lot of other docs would say we could definitely improve on in the future.
Mm-hmm. So I've heard two different scenarios when it comes to the natural antibodies that you build after you've had COVID. Some say, oh, this is like a mini vax. Others have said, no, it's like 20 times the vax. And so, I mean, again, I'm a lay person, not a doctor. I pretend to play one on radio a little bit. But the idea of, help me understand this, but my understanding was, with the vax, it's a specific spike protein that's targeting that virus, but where you've got kind of more of a non-exclusive antibody buildup when you've had the virus that's a little bit more mobile to fight the different maybe variants. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have full-blown COVID, you're exposed to the entire virus, the entire component of the virus. So there are different protein sequences on that virus. So you can have slightly different antibodies to the complete virus, whereas the vaccines are going after the S protein, which is a major protein and very much involved with the ACE receptors as far as how it binds to our cells. But it is one component of that versus the entirety of it. And there are some, and this kind of goes to what we were talking about before, about some of the data that's out there. There's been 10 studies that have been reviewed with natural immunity versus vaccine-related immunity. And although the CDC has put on their website the last study, that was done and showed that they felt like the vaccine immunity was five times better than the natural immunity. Right away, I have two filters. This is how I explain it to my patients. I have two filters, my faith filter and my science filter. When I hear that we're claiming that man got it right and God didn't, that we did better than God, my red flag goes off instantly. And that doesn't sound right to me. Now, I'm still going to check it out. I don't necessarily make any opinions, but I don't personally know when man's ever done better than God in my life. And so I look at that and I question that. When I did that, there are some very, very intelligent PhDs out there who analyzed that data that the CDC put out. And one of them, I'm just going to relay his name, is Chris Masterjohn, and he did a really good job. He just broke it down, and it really does. When he breaks it down, he comes to the exact opposite conclusion. And when you look at it, you can see that the data that they used was interpreted very differently, number one. Number two, there's some other conclusions there that were much more staggering, and that is that in their actual numbers that they used, the number of people that were hospitalized were six times more likely, the vaccinated were six times more likely to be hospitalized for COVID-like symptoms. Not COVID, but COVID-like symptoms. So the actual hospitalizations were sixfold greater with the people that were vaccinated, and they tend to be higher risk categories, so you have to take that into account too. And he breaks that all down and does a very, very good job of doing that. And then at the end, he does what I encourage everyone to do, which is use their discernment. He assessed who was involved with the study. And the majority of the people, 80% of the authors of that study, had direct ties to vaccine companies. That's a conflict of interest in my books. And when you have nine other studies showing something different and my faith filter going off, then that's enough for me to say, okay, we need to continue to question this. I believe that's bad science. And that's where we're seeing a lot of problems. We've had a couple people come forward about data and data collection at the CDC and within Pfizer. And so we'll see how that all plays out. But again, that's where we need to keep an open mind on what we're seeing, what we're experiencing. We've now gone through this enough. Enough people have been vaccinated and have had breakthrough cases that we know, okay, these are leaky vaccines. And leaky vaccines, we know, tend to weaken your immune system against other infections. Leaky vaccines tend to lose the ability to protect against the current infections. So we have to look at other resources for our immune system to help build that up. For me, it's an emperor has no clothes scenario. When you can see it so clearly and yet everyone is still cheering on that emperor, that's kind of the place we're at for a lot of doctors. And I am actually going to say scary thing. The scary thing is when they voice their opinion, they've been silenced. And that's catastrophic because we have to at least have people at the table with differing opinions.
Yeah.
In my clinic, I encourage excellence without ego with all the doctors, and I don't want to be surrounded by people who will not come to me with different opinions or even say, I think you're wrong here. And you can ask all of my doctors here at the clinic that they often do that. And as I get older, they're telling me more and more how wrong I am on different areas. But I encourage that because then we can work it out. And the podcast I did, that topic even came up, and I think that's what is needed at a global level. We need excellence without ego, and we need these doctors to be heard that just are questioning things. There was a doctor from New York City, he was a frontline doctor in the very, very beginning of all this. He came out and said, we need to take a look at this. This is acting like a respiratory illness. My patients are crashing. He was a frontline ER doctor from New York, and his video got taken down because of whatever. It went against the story of the day or whatever it was, but he ended up being right. And we went a full 10 months with a treatment program in our hospitals that if we had just taken his information and started to apply it. Now, he is someone who was very insightful. He saw this, recognized it, put that information out, and he was silenced for it. he wasn't anti-anything. He was pro-people. He was pro-helping. His heart was to help. He ended up being right. But he was silenced. That is a bigger problem with all of this. So we can't do that to each other. So if you have a family member, I have people who are unvaccinated who won't go around vaccinate people because of fear of shedding and other stuff. I have vaccinated who won't allow unvaccinated near them. We need to stop that. We need to listen to each other. We need to come together. That's the whole point of this. We need to be in touch with God so that we can discern what God wants us to discern and be able to speak it.
Amen. I was going to say, if we're not afraid, if we really long for the truth, then we would put our egos down and we would say, you know, I remember watching a video of a doctor, you know, 10 months ago saying, up to this point, you know, because ours is to first do no harm, we would collaborate together going, how are you keeping people out of the hospital? How are you keeping? And he said, this is the first time in his career that only one narrative is allowed. And he said, how are we supposed to help people if you can only have one path of conversation? And so, again, I know we're probably stepping on a few toes. I don't at all mean to, but I'm just saying, I can't even live with myself if we don't have this conversation, because it's just not as cut and dry as some are making it. But there is a way. There's so much. We have access to so much to build up our immunities. And it goes back to, you know, you've been saying this on the show for many years, that fear opens up the door to a cascade of inflammatory response in our body. When there's inflammation, it is fertile soil for disease and virus to thrive and flourish. As believers, God has given us so many tools, so much wisdom to build our immunities, to walk in love, to kick fear to the curb, and then to do our best. So I got it. You know, I got it. And it did kick my butt a little bit, but God was so with me, and I see every step of the way he went before me and prepared the way for me. And I'm just asking, can we maybe step back and have some humility, have some faith, and just see what God might show us going forward? Can we, even if we're a small remnant of voices, is it okay to have conversations? And if you think differently, this isn't to undermine any plan that you're on. It's just to say there's not a one-size-fits-all answer. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer to this issue. We're going to pause here. When we come back, this dear listener says, I had COVID in August. I recovered, but lately have a sternum pain and lung tenderness as it's colder. Is this normal? How can I keep getting stronger during this time? And I see a couple others as well. What do you think of monoclonal antibodies? I will tell you, Kev had those, and I'll have Dr. Troy speak to those as well. But we'll be back in a minute. He is a waymaker. Suzy Larson here. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've been having a pretty, I actually set it up what we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, but we can't. This is what we're talking about is COVID and what we've learned. What are some maybe mistakes we've made that we can learn from? How important is it to walk forward in humility without vilifying people who are towing a different mindset than yours? But even that, Troy, what I love what you're saying is can we all come together and welcome differing opinions and find out together, collaborate together what works so that we can be healthy? And boy, this has been so powerful. Lots and lots of people have texted in saying, thank you for this honest, hard conversation. It took such boldness and courage. And it did. Because people are quick to jump if you're not saying the one talking narrative point. And I can't do it before God. I just can't. So thank you for giving me some grace to process through this. So, Doc, this one says, dear listener, had COVID in August, recovered, but lately having sternum pain, lung tenderness as it's colder. Is it normal? How can I keep getting stronger during this time?
So that's not normal, but it is common. And one of the things I would say for lungs, it's all about antioxidants. So you want to make sure you're getting your antioxidants checked, or not checked, updated. So melatonin, vitamin C and vitamin A and vitamin E in particular. However, there's one thing that I just want to have people know about that is a lab test called a D-dimer. A D-dimer tells you if you've had some persistent clotting going on. And one of the biggest problems is from COVID and from vaccine injuries is clotting. And so, and today's a perfect example. Today I had a patient who had complications from COVID, and it's been shown in research that 4 months afterwards their D-dimer can be high. And that's, you want to make sure you take care of clotting. So when I hear something like that, the first thing I want to do just to make sure everything's okay, get a D-dimer lab test. It's D-dimer, D-I-M-E-R. My other patient who had a vaccine ended up having a clot up the entire leg. It was about 3.5 feet long, that clot. It was a miracle that they did not die from that. But same thing, they had to slowly dissolve that clot. And that's what we're seeing. This is mostly a cardiovascular scenario. And so make sure that that the D-dimer is good and that your fibrinogen is good. So those are two lab tests you can ask your doctor for. And keep your antioxidant levels high. Now, the other thing is, if that comes back nice and clean and clear, it's important to move. So a lot of our people with COVID that end up with some lung congestion, my wife, who's a respiratory therapist who works in the hospital, she will have them get up out of their bed and to the chair across the room, and they have to move their arms. You have to get them above the head. You have to bring blood flow to the lungs. So movement and motion is very, very important. So a lot of times we can feel like we're out of breath and not doing well, but we've got to get those lungs expanding and contracting. So we want to be able to cough up anything that's there. The other side of it is COVID tends to cause the lymph system, all infections do really, but with the respiratory COVID, we've seen a large amount of people with bile duct spasms, and the bile duct gets irritated and inflamed, and so it can cause a little tension in the chest area, even up into the right shoulder blade area and the right side of the neck. And working and massaging the right upper part of the abdomen can actually help quite a bit with that. So we see that all the time, and getting even a massager or working on that bile duct, that inflammatory component, especially if there's any nausea associated with it, can also be helpful. So I would start in that area, but there's definitely things to keep investigating moving forward. And if the D-dimer is good and everything else is looking good as far as fibrinogen and other labs, then you can move into the antioxidants and movement phase of things.
Yeah, one of my other doctors put me on two different supplements that are anti-clotting that stay on them for 3 weeks after COVID. You know, yep. Natokinase is one, and then pycnogenol, I think, was the other one. And everybody's different, so don't take my advice. You've got to talk to your own doc with your own. But there are things like that you can do. And this listener says, ask Troy about budesonide inhaler. That's what I'm taking, budesonide. I'm on that 3 times a day, just full disclosure. And there's a little albuterol in that inhaler for me as well. What do you think about that, Doc, for treating COVID-19?
I've not used that. We haven't had to, but I know a lot of doctors who are, and it's quite effective, especially early on. So, yeah, it's been a good treatment option for a lot of the doctors.
You know, when you and I talked about this a year ago, and we kind of made a more of an analogy out of it, but you were saying how, you know, you want to go into wartime as prepared as possible, as shored up as possible. So we were applying that to our health. But you were saying even, like, if you're neglecting your marriage, you're neglecting whatever, and the storm hits, you're obviously not going to be on the kind of footing that you hope. Well, Kevin and I prepared, thanks to you and our other two docs, prepared long and hard for the day that this battle would hit us. And it made a massive difference. But I will tell you, I had asthma for 20 years before they treated the mold. And as soon as I treated the mold, I got off a steroid inhaler. That was like 6 years ago. Well, this COVID attacks you where you're weakest. And so that is what stirred up for me. If not for the intervention and the early practices that I employed, I think I probably could have ended up on a ventilator, and that's why it's no joke. I mean, it really will go after. Kev has a really bad back, and it just attacked his back. And so all that to say, I think tending to our health is why you're on here every month, so that we can do everything we can to shore up our lives so that we can weather the storms that hit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, by building up the reserves. And because of the inflammatory reaction that COVID causes, it will affect you in your weakest areas. One of my patients that came in, she was 81, and she would have pain in a different joint every single day. So one day it would be searing intense pain in her right elbow, and then the next day it would be your left knee, and the right elbow was 100% okay. These were a lot of areas that she had injured over her entire life. And so over 10 days, that became the joke. Which joint is it today that's sore? And so she did quite well and got through everything. It was not fun, not pleasant, but she did very well getting through COVID. And once we identified the pain was jumping joints, so to speak, and we knew, which we kind of knew what was coming next, because she said, "I broke this ankle that hasn't flared up yet," and that was the last thing. And once the ankle was done, she was done and better.
Mm-hmm. So I had in the beginning horrendous body aches, but I also had the obviously lung stuff. So I went downstairs every day for the first 4 days in the world that I felt well enough and did deep, deep stretching. And then every day, three times a day, I went down in our family room and I walked laps around our family room and took deep, deep breaths. And then, I mean, I don't know if this is, you know, something all doctors would suggest, but I sprinted up the stairs. I'm like, I got to take these stairs. And I just forced myself because I thought I got to, because then I'd go crawl back into bed again. But it was like, I knew I needed to keep moving. And that's what I mean, is there are strategic things that
absolutely,
we can all do, right?
Yeah, and people don't need to sprint, because with this you can pass out for sure. But movement is very important. And that's what we encourage people to do. Sleep is going to heal you with this, but you've got to have the movement part of this. You will fatigue quickly, but those who get up and move and do actually do quite a bit better.
Yeah, okay, for the record, I ran faster the first day, a little slower the next day. Okay, I love this dear one. She says, "Great program today. I work in a large hospital. So frustrating that there's no coming together regarding this issue. Makes me wonder if I should stay on." And this is why, friends, we're going to just pray for a better tomorrow. I know that sounds like I'm running for president, but I really mean it. We can pray for a better tomorrow. I believe it can happen. We're running so out of time, but I want to... here's one. "Thank you for the courage to talk about these issues. I had COVID with monoclonal antibodies late May, experienced new smell taste issues starting 4 months that are still lingering. What can I do? Also had cardio screening that revealed new fluid around my heart. Could that be from COVID? Glad you're recovering, Susie. Prayed for you." What do you say?
Yes, absolutely can be from COVID. And that is a scenario where we would look at some of the things that can cause some of the long hauler symptoms. And so with COVID, it can weaken your system. Same with the vaccines. And that is a scenario where we'd look at what's causing the inflammation around the heart. If the D-dimer is elevated, fibrinogen, we'll look at the different inflammatory and clotting factors. And we would use nattokinase, or one of the other ones is lumbrokinase, along with fish oils for anti-inflammatory. It's very, very specific to the individual, but what we have found is that people with long hauler symptoms tend to have either a zinc deficiency or an underlying infection that they didn't know about, specifically Lyme or mold illness. Those are things that, if they aren't treated, can be problematic. And then if it's just the heart, not to minimize it, I know the heart's very, very important, you just have to fix the cardiovascular component of that, usually with traditional medical doctors will use blood thinners, but there's also natural approaches, like we said, with the nattokinase, the lumbrokinase, and measuring the strength of the actual arterial system. One of our doctors here, we have an EndoPat machine that measures the arterial stiffness and the endothelial, so that's where we go.
Troy, this has been so fantastic. We're way out of time. Friends, thank you for chiming in. Thank you for giving us a space to have this conversation. So good to be with you. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.